And it's the second Monday of the month, which means we've got City Matters and a whole bunch of people from the city are in here. Good morning, guys. How's it going?
Good morning, Evan. How are you doing today?
Pretty good. Why don't you guys introduce yourselves?
Well, I'm Mike Bailey. I'm the finance director for the city of Bartlesville and currently the acting city manager. Ed Gordon, once again, couldn't join us. However, the good news is that Ed is now finally at home and
and
making a full recovery. So he's not back with us yet, but he is where he needs to be.
Hopefully sooner rather than later.
We agree. We miss him. But with me, I have Micah Seemers, city engineering director, and Lisa Beeman, who is a lady of many hats. We'll say you're here today more for planning and parks.
That's right.
So we'll go with Parks and Rec Director, or Parks and Rec Planner, and Community Development Director for today. So we got a lot of titles we can choose from. But before we jump into all of that, we got some announcements, things that I know that interest certain people, some people more than others. If you're in Woodland, you're really going to want to pay attention to this one because we have a free leaf collection. It's set for the week of December 18th to the 22nd. Basically, you will just set your bags out next to your can on your ordinary collection day. No stickers required. It can be in any sort of bag. And we will come by and pick those up for free during that period of time only. So you do not want to miss out on this one if you've got a yard full of leaves. We also have some holiday schedules. So Christmas Day, the city of Bartlesville will be closed. And there will be no sanitation routes that day. So anyone who would normally be collected on the 25th, which I believe is a Monday, you will be picked up on Wednesday of that week. If you're normally picked up on Tuesday, the day after Christmas, we will pick you up on your normal day. And then New Year's Day, again, there'll be no collection. And so that is a Monday again. And we will pick you up on January 3rd, which would be Wednesday of that week. And then the final thing is that the Bartlesville Public Library and the White Rose Cemetery, they'll be closed on Friday, December 22nd and Monday, December 25th in observance of the Christmas holiday. All other city offices, except for police and fire, of course, will be closed on Monday, December 25th and Tuesday, December 26th. Police and fire will continue as normal. And then the final thing, and I won't spend a whole lot of time on this because I'll have the police chief come in with me the next time and we can talk a little bit about it, but the city's ISO rating came back, and this is, what is the name, what is that, Beeman?
Insurance
Service Organization or Offices.
Yeah.
So ISO comes in and they rate cities basically on our fire preparedness. And the city of Bartlesville had been what was rated a 3, and kind of like golf, the lower the score, the better. So we already had a very good score. However, after our most recent rating, they came back and they bumped us up to a 2. So that's great news. The chief tells me that 2s are very rare, and that puts us in the top 1% in the state of Oklahoma. So for business owners and commercial property, that should make a pretty significant difference in your fire insurance. And then even the county residents that live within 5 miles of a fire station should see a substantial decrease. They said that there will be some decrease for residents, but that will not be nearly as noticeable as the others. So, but really good news, and as I said, we'll have the chief on at some date in the future. Spend a little bit of time talking about that at that point in time. Now, one other thing that was of note, and I believe it happened on Friday, was that the city circuit closed down. And the city's had quite a few questions about that. And the city circuit is not city ride. City circuit is the bus route, the fixed route system that was being run by a nonprofit. It never was part of the city of Bartlesville. City Ride is part of the city of Bartlesville, and it's one that we contract for to provide. It is the one that is curb-to-curb service. It's still available for anyone who is looking to use it. Again, City Circuit, to my knowledge, well, at least the last one we heard was it was going to close on Friday. But again, that was a nonprofit that was being run sort of in a partnership with the county. The city, now I will say that the city and the county are in with City Circuit, and to try to make sure that all of those riders we'll have options in the future. No decisions have been made yet, but we've had some really good meetings and we've met with some contractors as well to try to resolve those issues. So far we're moving in the right direction, but we do have a little ways to go. And with that, we'll hop into what I would assume is probably the thing that people are most interested in Bartlesville. And Lisa's waving at the clock.
At the clock.
I think she thinks that she can't fill 25 minutes, yeah, but no. The reality is I've seen Lisa Beaver talk for 45 minutes about a car in the parking lot. So I think we're safe. but she's in a little bit of a panic, but I think we're safe.
It's a good thing she's here. If it was just up to me, then it would be.
You're an engineer, Mike Sears. I've heard you talk longer violent. About less as well. Y'all are trying to hide your true natures. It's not
whatever,
working.
Whatever, man, whatever.
So, on Monday, I guess it would have been a week ago, the city council selected a list of projects. And the list of projects were very lengthy. We had a large number of projects. They covered the entire community, and then they ran the gamut from everything from equipment down to parks and streets and storm drainage. So we had there's some great projects on there. There's a few new things. However, as usual, most of what's on there is just maintaining what we have. But I'll turn this over to Micah and Lisa in a minute, but I thought that I'd give the listeners a moment. On January 2nd will be the city council's meeting where they officially call the election. So on Monday they decided on a list of projects, but the election won't be officially called until the second.
I think the first is a Monday. So it'll be on.
And Lisa's going to look this up because she thinks I'm wrong.
It's correct. Yeah, first is a Monday.
Thank you, Abby. Thank you, Abby. She never would have believed me. It had to come from you.
Yeah.
So on January 2nd, not the 3rd, on Tuesday, we will have a meeting, and that night the city council is expected to call the election. With all of these projects. The election date that they've chosen at this point in time is March 6, 2018. It's important for everyone to remember that just because there was an election and your favorite geobond project was on there, it doesn't mean that it will be built the next year. We issue these over time. And so while we will have, we'll call for the election, and assuming it passes a vote of the people, we will start to issue those bonds in June. We will issue some more in the fall of the same year of 2018, and then we will issue some more again in the following year. So those will be issued over 3 years, and then of course for any street project or any drainage project, there's a period of design. What's the period of design for most of these projects, Mike?
It varies. On the smaller projects, you're looking at a couple months, something like that. For the larger projects, it can be up to a 6 to 8 month time frame. We can get it out right away. Again, we have limited staff, so.
Right.
If we are going to contract that work out, we have to organize that and coordinate that. And then if we do it in-house, obviously, it takes time. So a
typical project, say a 1 mile mill and overlay.
Right.
What are we talking about from the time we issue the bonds before the actual construction is completed?
Well, our target is to have it done in the same fiscal year. If it's issued in the fall, obviously, then it would be nice to get it done the same fiscal year. If it's issued late, like in the spring, that would be hopefully then. Usually, typically, if we can get them done within the next calendar year, that's a good target. So,
nine to 12 months is a fair estimate for most of these projects.
Sure.
Okay. I realize that for most people,
you're kind of putting me out there, Mike.
Way out there. But nine to 12 months. There are a lot that go into these projects. There's a lot of design elements, and then of course we have to go out and competitively bid them, which typically takes anywhere between 30 and 60 days.
That's correct. That's correct.
That's to ensure that we get the best bang for the citizens' dollars.
That's right.
So on my list, I've got Lisa Beeman. She's talking park stuff, which is always exciting for her. And then we've just put down Micah Seamers. He's going to talk boring stuff.
I wondered if you were going to actually.
I actually read it off. Yeah, I had a split second, split decision.
Actually,
I may regret
it's gonna be
that later.
Stuff. Okay, I was going to bring it up if you weren't.
And these are really in the words of Lisa Beeman. Yeah. There's parks, and then there's the boring stuff.
Why don't we get the boring stuff out of the way first?
Yeah, let's get that. Apparently, take your time because Lisa thinks she's only got like 5 minutes.
Hey, I'm going to crank through this. That way, we can give her as much time as possible.
to talk about the exciting stuff.
The exciting
right?
stuff. Yeah. No one wants to hear about the boring stuff. That's great. Well, yeah, we do. As you had mentioned, we do have really four categories on this bond election, is what we're looking at. So we got facilities and equipment, we got parks and recreation, storm drainage, and then streets. And so I'll just kind of run through the facilities and equipment here first. And We do have $610,000 for a pumper truck for the fire station. This will replace, we're not certain yet if it's going to be pumper 3 or pumper 2, station 2 or 3, both pieces of equipment. There's one, I believe, that is newer that has more maintenance issues. There's one that's just older. So they're going to kind of evaluate this once when we figure out where this will fall and which year this product will hit. They'll kind of reevaluate things and replace one of those two pumpers most likely.
And what we do, and I correct me if I'm wrong here, Micah, so if we buy a new pumper, that mm-hmm. becomes the new frontline pumper. So that's the
correct.
One that will roll out. However, to ensure that we always have a vehicle ready, we also have standby pumpers, right?
We do. We do have standby pumpers in reserve, so my understanding.
So whichever one we replace will actually become the reserve. So it's
that's
not
correct.
Like we
correct.
Just get rid of that. So
right.
The one that actually goes out the door will probably be much older and in much worse shape than the one that we're buying this to replace.
This is true. You know, this is true.
All bumps down.
Yep. That is the way it works, is my understanding. Now, there are times I think that they do get rid of pieces of equipment, but I think this one will be, it will put one of them in reserve. So the next item, we do have $475,000. And actually, I probably need to go for the, I need to change the amount here for the higher amount to include.
Well, and that's a good point. Part of what, so Micah has a list on here, and it's got two columns. And the one column is the amount that we anticipate the project will cost, and the other column is the amount that will include the cost of issuance. And so we have to, whenever we issue GO bonds, it costs us some money. We have to pay bond councils and financial advisors in the state of Oklahoma. And so, yeah, let's go ahead and give them the ones that include
okay.
the cost of issuance. So
okay.
That's what they should see on the ballot.
Yeah, I kind of got to go through that and figured I'd probably get on the wrong numbers.
Let's make this as confusing
starting off
as possible.
On the wrong leg. Yeah. So we had $620,000 for the pumper truck instead of $610,000. We've got $485,000 for replacing Sleuth with Spillman Records Management System. So, Mike, you can probably speak to this better than me, but it basically is it's a software that the police department uses. It's the officers that are out in the streets. This is what they use to enter their reports, to do the reporting. My understanding, it has to talk with some of our different accounting software and other things as well.
So this is law enforcement software. This would be what the police and the dispatch uses. Right now, it is the software has become almost non-usable. The last that I heard, the dispatch, if they were having glitches, which happens, then when they were taking calls, they were having to write all of the information down on a piece of paper. And then they were having to wait until it slowed down and go back and log all those into the computer because they couldn't do it quickly enough. So, yeah, huge, huge problem. In the police cars, it is also supposed to be available for them so that in order to remove some of the load off of dispatch, they were supposed to be able to run their own license plates and look up background checks on people and things of that nature. And that really is not functioning the way it's supposed to. And that's just because that is that's a 15-year-old piece of software
sure.
that has gotten worse with time.
Right. So we've got $485,000 for that, and a definite need there. We've got $305,000 for a server refresh. This is essentially replacing the servers at City Hall. Basically, we've got some servers that are 5 years old plus.
Yep.
So we'll be replacing that system just to basically keep up with the times. We've got $355,000 for a grade all excavator. This is going to be for the street department. This is a piece of equipment that they use really on a regular basis. They use it a lot, and I think the one that we're working with now is when Ed Gordon was still at Republic Works.
I think it is, I think that means it's old.
that's what I'm trying to say.
I'll go ahead and say it. I think
it's old.
We love you, Ed.
Yeah, we do. We love him. Ready for him to come back, but not that you're not doing a good job, Mike. But so yeah, we got $355,000 for that, and that'll be a piece of equipment that will replace an existing piece of equipment that's used on a regular basis by street department. We've got $215,000 for the library HVAC upgrade, and essentially this is a building that was built in 1992, I believe. And
I think that's what Lisa told us.
Yeah, and so...
And as it turns out, she's rarely wrong.
She is.
Occasionally wrong,
just
but rarely.
Just this morning?
Just yeah, one time.
Just one time.
One for the day.
That'll be it. That's it. So anyway, we've got $215,000 for that. We've essentially just bringing that up to current standards, and we've got an old system needs to be replaced and repaired. And then we got $20,000 for the downtown Christmas decorations. It's essentially along Frank Phillips, just to make it look nicer during Christmas time.
Yeah.
I think that's what a lot of people that have been around town for years have remember about downtown is the pretty Christmas lights, and we're trying to get back to that. So
and now,
it's a start.
Now, our lights, Lisa, on this one, these are just the ones for along the street lights, right? There is another project that is to actually line the buildings that it has nothing to do with us, though.
That's right.
Okay. Yep.
Good clarification. So I'm going to skip the Parks and Rec because that's the fun stuff.
The fun stuff, yeah.
I'm going to go down here to storm drains. We'll move on to a different category.
Hey, and, this is exciting if you live in a house that floods, I promise you.
If your house floods, this is a good thing. So we've got $510,000 for the Quail Place tributary improvements, and this is essentially an open channel system. It's currently a concrete line channel that was really never built back in the, I guess it had been in the 70s most likely, in Woodland Park. It was never really built to the proper standards, I'd say. And it's undersized, and we'll be increasing the size of that open channel system, concrete line system, and then upgrading a storm pipe or box structure underneath Cherokee Hills to basically make this carry more water. So we've had some flooding issues at that intersection with this system in Cherokee Hills, and this should hopefully alleviate that. Not all the time. If it's the large 100 year type storm, it's not gonna affect that, but it will get rid of what we call the nuisance type flooding, which has been on kind of a regular basis here lately. So we've got $360,000 for Candlestick Court storm drain, and this is in Colonial Estates. Essentially runs from the south end of Candlestick Court behind lots and ties into Camelot. And basically we've had some large sinkholes in this area. It's a large corrugated metal pipe system, and essentially the thing's just rotted to pieces. And so
corroded and collapsing.
So we are gonna replace that. And then we've got $230,000 for the 8th Street storm drain rehab. This is between Shawnee and Choctaw. And essentially, again, this is just an old system. It's an old clay tile pipe system, 24 inch pipe. And street department is constantly having to make fixes to this, and they're running out of places that they can tie into pipe that's in decent condition. So, got $230,000 for that. And then we'll move on to the streets.
Mike, on clay tile, do we replace that with a different type of material?
We will, yes. This will be mostly a reinforced concrete pipe system, is most likely what we'll go back with in this circumstance. It is underneath the roadway, so we'll probably go with a concrete pipe. Again, it'll kind of depend on what we get into design, whether it be a plastic pipe or a concrete pipe. And so moving on to the streets projects, we've got a few of them here. We've got the largest one's going to be downtown rehab, essentially. So it basically is what it sounds like. It's the entire central core of downtown. So basically between Cherokee and Keeler, and between Adams and Hensley, all those streets in there are going to be milled and overlaid, restriped. Obviously excluding Frank Phillips that we just finished up about a year and a half ago. And then and some of those little side legs that we did off of Frank Phillips. Then we won't be doing Hensley, won't be doing Adams because those are state highway. Right. And we won't be doing Cherokee because it's not necessarily in need of that repair. So,
Micah, the last time we did anything downtown, we did, I think it was a micro-surfacing.
We did, yeah.
Essentially, Terry has explained it, that essentially it's like painting your house.
Right.
And it was just a thin layer of asphalt that went over the top of them.
That's
it was intended to hold up, 7 to 10 years, and that was about seven years ago.
Yeah, I believe that was a target. Yeah.
And it so for anyone who looks at that and they see the double lines on the street, and
it's wearing through.
Yep, basically we've worn the paint off the road.
We have, and what we've kind of found with that is it really, with all the turning movements in a downtown area, with all the parking, it's really not a good product for turning movements,
well.
And it didn't last actually as long as we'd expected. Okay. So
we will be actually going in and mill and overlay on
That's
all
correct.
Of that.
That's correct. It will be a full mill. We can't do the edge mill because there's already a pretty steep crown.
Right.
So we
would ask everybody in the downtown area, once this project starts, please be patient.
Be patient.
It's going to be quite an undertaking.
We'll get
in and out as fast as we can, but there will be certain areas of downtown that will be closed
for
time.
They will be shut down at times, that's for sure. So we've got a little over $2 million for that. We've got $790,000 for Frank Phillips from Sunset to Park. Essentially, this is going to be from the railroad tracks where we left off with the last downtown project and go all the way out to just almost out to 123. Be a mill and overlay. And then we've got some concrete panel projects on 13th between Cherokee and Garden over around Kane Elementary School for $460,000. We've got a concrete panel rehab on Cudahy between Santa Fe and Virginia for $410,000. And we've also got an extension of that that'll be asphalt for $120,000, then from Santa Fe to Johnstone. And we've got $665,000 for Minnesota between Highway 75 and Madison. Essentially, it's an old county road that's just worn out.
Yes, very much
so. Really poor condition, so that'll be it's not going to be a complete rebuild, but it's going to be close. We've got $665,000 for that. We've got $410,000 for Pathfinder Parkway connection. This is Lisa can probably talk to this better than me, really, but it's really a way to connect Pathfinder, where we left off on Virginia, and connect it essentially to the Johnstone Park area. So it'll be utilizing existing streets, with some bike lanes, things of that nature. And so since it is on the streets, not just sidewalk. We have to include that in the streets projects, even though it was one of those projects that was listed, I think, for the parks.
Well, and that's a good point. This actually, these projects, this one and the next one that you're about to talk about, both were park projects that were recommended by the park board. However, by the way state law works, we were required to group them with streets. It was not our desire, and it seems counterintuitive, but we had to actually group the Pathfinder Parkway connection and then downtown landscaping that you're about to talk about.
Right.
Both of those had to be grouped with streets.
That's correct.
It was just a nuance of the law that we, frankly, weren't expecting.
Right. But, you know, that's the way it goes. No big deal. Shouldn't be an issue. But so we got $410,000 for that. And then, as you did mention, we'll do the last one, would be the downtown landscaping. Essentially, it's a second. It's called a second phase of the landscaping project that we'll be bidding here in next week. We'll be receiving bids on that. We had a pre-bid meeting last week, so we should get into construction on that this winter into spring on the first round of that.
So the one that we have out for bid right now, Micah, what area, what streets does
so
that
cover?
So this
is going to be Second Street and Dewey. Okay. So we've got about two blocks of Dewey, and then we've got about three or four blocks of Second Street. So okay. This is kind of the first trial of that downtown landscaping, modification.
And so, then this, is the area been identified for this next phase?
It is. You know, I don't have the list in front of me, but as part of the study that was done, I believe, by the downtown, was it Main Street Bartlesville
that
did that?
There was a pretty good coalition that was put together to study this,
So
it'll be phase two in accordance with that plan.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. All right.
So that kind of rounds out the boring projects.
The boring stuff. So now we get to talk about the exciting stuff with Lisa Beeman.
Let's do that.
My favorite Lisa Beeman. She's already been wrong once.
Only one.
You can be guaranteed that from here on out, these are all right.
We hope I am. We hope I'm right.
I don't know. She took my papers. So blame it on me.
So really, the focus of the parks planning has primarily been to improve the parks we have, with the idea that we want quality parks, not necessarily quantity, but quality. So we're going to continue in that vein with this bond issue. So Price Fields, as you know, we've done two quads on the very north end, so we would be looking at phase three. Those were phases one and two. Phase three would be rebuilding the central fields at Price Fields, the main fields right there in the center. And that would be $3,675,000 for those. We're also wanting to fulfill a commitment we made when we built Daniel's soccer fields. We wanted to put lights on those, but we didn't have as much money budgeted for that. So now we're looking to put those lights on there. That's $355,000. We want to continue to do some paving and repaving of Pathfinder Parkway, so we put $305,000 in there. That should get us about 2 miles,
yep,
of paving.
When we pave that, do we go back into the areas? The old Pathfinder, it seemed like it was narrower in certain areas. And so when we actually redo now, do we go to the full width? And what is the full width of it now?
Eight feet is the full width. And so, we try to go back. When we're going to repave it, we try to get the 8-foot width.
Sure, that's correct.
So this would, the paving here is looking at an asphalt paving, not the concrete. We also...
My knees, thank you.
Okay, yeah. Kitty Park, we're looking to work with them to get a new entrance and some perimeter fencing. That's $100,000. We'd like to, now that Boys and Girls Club has finished at their new building at Veterans Park, we'd like to get a playground over there. So we put money into that for a playground at Veterans Park. And we also need to remodel Johnstone Park restroom. As you know, that's a very old restroom.
Yes,
it does need to be remodeled. There are a lot of other projects on here that are primarily repair and improvement, like parking lot repairs and improvements, resurfacing like the Ring Road in Johnstone Park, repaving the Douglas Park walkway. We would like to replace our drinking fountains along the Pathfinder Parkway there and in many of our parks. So a lot of these are repairs and maintenance. There is also the community skate park, if you're familiar with it. We built this, over 17 years ago in Johnstone Park, and it was just above ground, like metal and wood structures. So we are looking to do a real community skate park, and the price of that would be $360,000. We have a lot of kids who do skating, and this would be for skateboarders as well as inline skating. And there was also a proposal to add a splash pad at Johnstone Pavilion. The pavilion has become a very popular area for family reunions, yep, and clubs events to meet, yep, and company picnics and parties and just birthday parties for folks. And so we want to add some play amenities into that area. The other large park project that will be on the ballot this year is for a green space. Right now it's being called the Tower Green, but it would be closing Silas Avenue, which is between Price Tower and the community center, and in that road, turning that into a common green space. It would be a partnership between the city of Bartlesville, the community center, and Price Tower, and it would be a gathering space. It would have a small amphitheater, so there could be community concerts, there could be festivals, food trucks could provide service. It could just be kind of a local community gathering space, and that is a project that would be partnering with the community center and the Price Tower as well. And we have in that $1.79 million for that project. So those are really the highlights of what we're looking at, primarily trying to continue improvements to what we have, maintenance and repair and upgrade, and then with the exception of the Price, the Tower Green would be kind of the new project among those that would be a community gathering space. It's kind of modeled after Guthrie Green in Tulsa. So those are the park projects.
Well, and Lisa, that's
the fun projects.
The fun projects. Well, and you make a good point that, as usual, most of our things that we do are just upkeep of our what we already have. And so Price Fields, I think, is a very exciting project. Micah, when did we actually start the first phase of Price Fields?
Oh, wow. That was design-wise, it was a 2010 project. I think we actually started construction in 2012,
yeah,
I believe.
Yep. So here we are, and, you know, here we are 5-7 years later, and we've got two quads done. And this won't be the final phase of Price Fields either, but it will substantially complete the park. I believe that all that will remain will be the far south fields, which are the largest fields, high school, and
that's correct,
primarily used for that level of baseball. And then, of course, the new entrance into the park would be
right,
part of any future phase. But at this point in time, the entrance will stay aligned with where it is,
mm-hmm,
at least in the meantime. But
right.
We
arranged this phase so that shouldn't have to do any realignment of the road that we actually just constructed as part of phase one, actually.
So tried
continued to phase two, so.
Tried to make it as cost-effective as possible. I think you skipped over the golf course, didn't you, Lisa?
No, I did.
There was a little bit of money in there.
Golf course is fun.
Golf course is fun. The golf course is, what did we have in there for bunker repair? $100,000
for bunker repair, yeah. So this will be... My understanding is the staff would most likely be doing some of this work.
Yeah, there will be some of it. It will not take care of all the bunkers on the course. However, they can get a majority of the bunkers,
right,
the ones that are in the worst condition, and they can bring those up. So primarily it's the under-drain system and the sand. But
they are
badly in need from what I'm told. As you've played golf with me, Micah, you realize that I rarely hit the ball far enough to find a bunker.
You don't even spend time in the bunker.
No, it takes me 7 shots to get there.
You have an aversion to the beach.
I just give up.
I don't get it. I'm in it all the time.
It's because you can actually hit the ball far enough.
I just can't control it.
They put the bunkers out of my reach. All right, well, and with that, I think we're about done, Evan, unless you have something.
I sure don't. Mike Bailey, Lisa Beeman, Micah Seamers with us this morning on City Matters, second and fourth Mondays of the month. So it'll be a couple more weeks before they get back in here. And make sure you give Ed our best, as we're thinking about him every day. So hopefully he's going to be back here sometime after Christmas. That'd be nice.
Yeah, definitely will be.
There you go. City Matters right here on K1. 44 degrees. We got ABC News coming up next. Hope that your Monday, December the 11th, is going well.
before the ball drops. Insure your special event with Phoenix Insurance, 918-336-5460. This is KWON Bartlesville and K227CQ Bartlesville.
CBS News.